Hello friends, I have to tell you all about C60 Purple Power. Since I started using C60, which may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man, I feel amazing, and you should too. I have more energy, I sleep better, and I've lost over 30 pounds. But please go check it out for yourself. It has so many amazing benefits. Just click the link in the description or visit C60PurplePower.com and use coupon code KNOWLEDGE10 to get 10% off your order plus free shipping. That's C60 Purple Power. Welcome back to the Forbidden News Update. I'm Chris Matthew. With me is Corey Hughes, and our guest tonight is Charlie Robinson. He's an author, researcher, and host of and creator of Macroaggressions podcast. Charlie, Corey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Just another day in the USSA.
Awesome. Yeah. Got some fun stuff to talk about always. You know, our world is completely fun right now. I just want to remind everybody, if you want to get your free helium miner, just email me, forbiddenknowledgenews@gmail.com. It's free money. You can mine your own helium tokens with this. Also, if you're listening right now on the podcast or you're watching the YouTube preview, get your ass to Rockfin. Rockfin is amazing. Charlie's there. So many other badass content creators are there on Rockfin making amazing content that you're not going to get anywhere else. How's Rockfin treating you, Charlie?
Yeah, I like it so far. I mean, when the vice president of marketing reaches out to you and says, here's my cell phone number. If you need anything, just let me know. If you have an episode that you think is really good that we should promote, just send me a text. And I go, oh, okay. And then they let us say the things that we, you know, talk about the things we want to talk about, as long as we're not inciting violence, which of course we're not going to be doing. So we love it. We have great flexibility there. You could see so many people that you recognize have shows over there, Jimmy Dore, Whitney Webb, Derek Bros, Sam Tripoli's got like 3 shows over there. Ricky Verandas has got a show. It's packed. There's a lot of, there's probably shows that you are like, oh, I used to watch that all. I used to watch Last American Vagabond all the time. And then it got thrown off YouTube. I haven't seen it in months. Where is it? It's all on Rockfin. That's where everyone is, because they just got fed up with getting thrown off and just decided to meet all in one place. And, it's a good spot. So I'm happy to be there.
Yeah, it is definitely awesome. It's great to have that hands-on, you know, connection with the people there at Rockfin. Before we get started, any updates on the helium miners, Corey, that anyone should know about?
Nope. Get one.
Yeah, that's it. Free money. Get your helium miner. We'll keep you updated on anything as it happens.
I got one too. I mean, I got one ordered, but it's on its way, so I'm in.
Yeah, it may take a little while for you to get it. They're still kind of trickling the orders in, but it's definitely worth it. So get yourself a free helium miner.
And if you're signed up on Rockfin for Forbidden Knowledge News, we have already sent you an email where you can access the miner. It says you've been referred. So search for that in your email, and that is what it is.
Yes. All right. Now, Corey and I were talking about this earlier, how even though it seems to be like a slow dystopian rollout of all these agendas that are happening, they're still moving too fast for people. And so many people, I'd like to get a real gauge on how many people aren't falling for this bullshit anymore. It's kind of hard to gauge with all the one-sided media and cancel culture and censorship now, but I'm pretty sure that most people aren't falling for a lot of this bullshit right now. What do you think about people's mindsets when it comes to this stuff now, Charlie?
Well, I think that perception is not necessarily reality, that when you go on social media, it's skewed in a way to make it look like everybody's taking the vaccine and everybody's doing this. And then you hear reports that 40% of the Marines said, nope, I'll pass. And that they're having problems with a lot of the shots going to waste and, you know, and not getting distributed, or they're piling up in different places. And so that gives me hope, you know, they're clearly selling the vaccine so hard. They're selling it in a way that if you went into a store to look at clothes and the salesperson was this pushy, you'd be like, even if I find something here I like, I don't want anything to do with you, you know? And the same, I get the same vibe. It's such a hard sales pitch, and having an opinion of, well, I think I'm just going to wait and see with this. Their response is no, you've got to go now, we're setting this up, we're doing this, corporations want you to get it, you know, if you don't get it you can't work here and this and that. And it's like, whoa man, why the hard sell, you know? And if you read the SPARS document, the simulation that they ran, the 2025-2028 scenario that was written in 2017, you know, if you read that, in that fake scenario, which is matching almost identical to what we're currently going through, just like Event 201, it says in this so-called fake scenario that 9 months after the vaccines roll out, all of the side effects kick in, and everybody, and it comes to the forefront, and the people have what's most closely aligned with mad cow disease. And it's not from corona, it's from the vaccine. That's in the role-playing scenario. And so that's September for us of this year. So the reason why there's like foot on the gas, like everybody must comply, is because they've got a short window to get everybody vaccinated before the cat is out of the bag and we start to see all the massive side effects and everyone goes, no fucking way, not interested in this thing. So if that's what indeed winds up happening because of these experimental rush to market emergency authorization use vaccines that are being crammed down our throats without being tested on human beings yet, it seems like there's maybe, you know, my little conspiratorial tinfoil hat wearing head goes to a really dark place when I start thinking about that. I start going to depopulation, and it's not above these people. In fact, not only is it not above these people to do it, or not, you know, these people are eugenicists and they write about this openly. And then you see the massive push for vaccines and you go, you've written these scenarios that simulate it. And the end result in your scenarios are a bunch of people get super sick and die from the vaccine. And we're at the part in that scenario where they're forcing everybody to get vaccines. Just like, you know, I mean, so it's like, hey, I don't have a crystal ball, but based on what I've been reading about their work that they're doing and the scenarios they're running, we're about 4 months away from the beginning of seeing whether or not this is really a depopulation event. And that's fucking terrifying to me.
It is. Any thoughts on that, Corey?
This thing's really fucked up. And it always, for me, it keeps going back to the HIV. That's what this whole thing is about. That's what I keep coming to the same conclusion on. And I say that in particular because I have a new possible scenario on how this thing was rolled out and unfolded that could include the faking of the genome that's in the gen banks. Because when you think about the vaccine that they're giving people, I've already talked about this too many times, but the spike glycoprotein is an insert of HIV, okay? So they've been working on this mRNA HIV vaccine for goddamn 20 years. It's an absolute failure. I can foresee them releasing the genomes for the three original SARS-CoV-2, the Wuhan pneumonia virus is what they were originally calling it. I can see them releasing that as all three have the same exact spike glycoprotein, all to create the panic, to create the vaccine, to unload the trillions of dollars in debt that they have from this failed mRNA vaccine, which was HIV, because the formulation is no different. It is identical. It uses the 80 nucleotides of the HIV in the lipid clamp part, and then the spike protein is an identical copy of HIV-1. So that's kind of what I've been thinking about it lately. None of it's good. These people are all sick and need to fucking die. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree on that last part. Now, we were watching a video earlier regarding the swabs, and there's no way to verify this. We haven't really done much research to look into it, but it appears from the video we watched earlier, a few other videos I was shown, some information from supposed whistleblowers that these swabs may have some kind of like nanotechnology on them. Whenever they're pushing them up into your brain, they're leaving some of these fibers that are on these swabs in there, and God knows what the fuck is on there. And yeah. What are they doing, you know, is this some sort of preemptive, like, nanotechnology that they're going to combine with this vaccine? There's, you know, there's so many places we could go with that. But in the video, it speculates that this is some kind of, like, DARPA nanogel, which I wouldn't doubt, you know, I wouldn't doubt. They're already supposedly spraying, you know, these nanoparticulates in the air. And in the video, it speculated they have lithium as well on the tip of these swabs, which I've also heard that they spray lithium in, you know, some of the substances that they're supposedly spraying in the air, which I find interesting. I don't know, but I'd like to get your thoughts on these swabs and these tests, if you think anything is going on with them.
Yeah, I have major concerns about the tests. We know about smart dust. It's it's not theory. It's fact. We know who's working on it. All these technologies typically come to being with a military slant to it, you know. Then after the military is done with it, then it gets released to the general public, and then the medical industry messes around with it. But it always starts with a military purpose, and I promise you that if there is smart dust, if smart dust exists, no doubt they would be looking for a way to get it in us. There has been long rumored that it's in the chemtrails, aerosol injections.
Wait,
aerosol says, injection. Program. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry,
atmospheric aerosol injections.
Yeah, yeah. That maniac. John Brennan admitted to on camera. So it's chemtrail. We can put that sort of debate to rest. It's not theory. It's fact. They admitted that the CIA has been doing it for a long time. So could they have added in there along with lithium? Yeah, why not? I mean, they already put fluoride in the water. So we've established that our government hates us and has absolutely no respect for us whatsoever. They think of us as inconvenient, that their whole job would be a lot easier if there weren't so many of us running, you know, taking up space on their planet. So it's not a stretch to think that they would like to cull the herd a little bit. Now, how you do that in a more, you know, you don't want to get called Adolf Hitler or Mao Zedong by your people. But if you can make it look like an accident, if you can make it look like a virus, then you can't pin the blame on anybody. And if you do, if you're really devious and a sick motherfucker like these people are, then you're thinking, how can we give them like a double whammy? So let's give them something with the test. Let's give them the smart dust that's on the tip of the swabs, and let's jam that up their head. And then while we're constantly spraying them and prepping them for it for the years leading up to this, and then we release a virus that hits some people hardcore, and then we top it off with a messenger RNA vaccination that even the CEO of Moderna said uploads an operating system to your body. So couple that with the smart dust. Look, if you're the person that's getting tested with that thing stuck up your nose, you're also the person that's going to get the vaccine, more than likely. So maybe it's a combo. Maybe you need both of them for it to do the thing. And then what happens is these people go off and drop dead 8 months later, and it looks like natural causes. It looks like the virus came back around and got them, when in actuality, it's plausible deniability. You can't blame the vaccine anymore, because it's been 8 months. And normally you would think if it was going to be the vaccine, you'd fall over dead in 48 hours. But it could be like a sort of a medium slow kill operation, where it just takes a couple months to bake in, and then it turns you off. That's what it does in their SPARS document. It gives everybody encephalitis, and because they made the vaccine in the simulation off of this pig vaccine, they used the base layer from this pig vaccine as the layer that they turned into a human vaccine. It caused problems that were only like normal to pigs, and so it was like devastating. That's in their fake scenario, where you'd think they would be painting a rosy picture, or you'd think that they would never come up with something as crazy as that, but yet they have. So it leads me to think that they know something we don't know. And so when I see smart dust on these little swabs and things like that, and people saying, yeah, man, they jam it like all the way up into your brain, I'm thinking, you can, for a test, you can spit, you can do a spit test. So what? You have to jam it up in their brain? Why do you have to jam it all the way up into their brain if you can also just do a spit test? It doesn't make any sense. So I think there's something nefarious there. And yes, I'm a little bit predisposed to think that way, but I think that way because there's so many examples of governments acting like this. And I know it sounds crazy to people that are hearing this stuff for the first time, but like, I promise you, this is not the first time these people have done.
That's what they do. They experiment on their own people.
Yes, this is absolutely what they do. And don't get that attitude like they would never do that to us. We're America. Oh, shut the fuck up. They will most definitely do that to you. They don't care about you at all. There's no love. There's no respect. It's no, I'm different. No, they have no respect for us at all. And we have to recognize that, because we're at like a severe disadvantage when we try and, navigate in the world, as a decent person. Like, these predators out there, man, their whole life is about screwing you over and making your life more difficult. And it's so foreign for us to kind of wrap our heads around, because we would never think to be that way. But yet here we are, and we have to deal with these assholes that are literally trying to commit a genocide against the world. And we're what, supposed to just sit here and take it? Like, I'm sorry. It pisses me off.
Yeah. I can't even wrap my head around that way of thinking. You got any thoughts on that, Corey?
Well, I'm going to go over the PDF for the swabs from that video today. I found it and I went over it, and I have a couple reservations about it. There's no real accreditation on it. Nobody's taking credit for it. There's no author. It's not formatted like a scientific paper. But the information in it is just something to think about, because it's another one of those things where you read it and you're like, shit, I just don't put it past them. So I'm going to take about 10 minutes and I'm going to show this document. I'm not going to go too deep, but it's a must see for sure. Okay. So basically, this is an analysis of test sticks from surface testing in the Slovak Republic, confirmation of genocide. Just the title alone kind of strikes me as inauthentic. And I don't know if anybody can verify or debunk any of this information. Please let us know. Basically, it zoomed in on these fibers, and the fibers that they show at the ends of the standardized test swabs are not made of cotton And the bullshit excuse they gave was that they want to use cotton because cotton has its own DNA and might screw up the test. That just doesn't seem right to me. But if you'll notice, these little fibers are, this is like a magnification under a microscope of the fibers. And you'll notice each one has like a jagged edge, like a rough jagged edge on it. This in comparison here is a view of a regular cotton swab under a microscope. And here is just kind of a zoom in of the broken ends on the fibers that are used in, allegedly used in the COVID swabs. This is again, a more of a zoom in. And they're saying here, basically, that this is a longitudinally open fiber with broken end and DARPA hydrogel content balls. So allegedly inside these hollow tubes, which are the fibers that, that constitute the swab, there are allegedly DARPA hydrogel balls inside of them. And we're going to get to what those hydrogel balls could possibly be. And this one from figure 7, the top image on the slide, after mechanical manipulation, which is identical to the swab, nasopharyngeal material that contains crushed nylon fibers, hydrogel, and lithium. This material remains in the nasopharynx after spawning. So this is left behind in your body after the test is completed. This is DARPA hydrogel beads that form the contents of the hollow nylon fibers. That's what the bottom pictures allegedly are. Again, I have not been able to corroborate this. So you get this as is. That's my warning to you all. And now this is where it gets interesting. Figure 10 to 11, after contact of the DARPA hydrogel with organic fluids like saliva, within a few minutes, they begin to form rectangular crystal structures. They gradually grow in a fractal manner. So when biological fluid comes in contact with this gel, allegedly it forms these little like cross-looking things that all eventually interconnect to form this big structure. It says this is the result of crystallization after 24 hours. Now that's 24 hours after saliva or biological fluids comes in contact with this hydrogel. These DARPA hydrogel crystals create a 3D spatial structure and grow through the tissues. So this actually binds to the tissues that it comes in contact with and forms these like weird geometric structures. This is another close-up. DARPA hydrogel crystal grows under the microscope in the direction of the magnetic field in the human nasopharynx after swabs grow towards the pineal gland. The pineal gland creates a locally stronger magnetic field than the Earth's external magnetic field. That sounded a little off to me. I don't know if anyone could fill me in on that. I'd appreciate it.
These motherfuckers are going after our pineal glands. They're sicker than I thought.
In figure 15 and 16, natural crystallization of saliva without DARPA hydrogel, that's on the left, and crystals do not create 3D spatial models and do not even form rectangular structures and do not grow in any fractal kind of way. And then on the right, you have it with when the saliva comes in contact with that gel. So this picture, to me, I found the most fascinating. And the reason I found it the most fascinating and possibly could lead to its authenticity is that amongst these structures that they have here that are all 3D and kind of looks like buildings or roads, like a little city, you know, you've got a couple in here that simply look like snowflake structures, right? And here's my thing. If somebody was going to fake this, odds of them being smart enough to know to include a structure like that are pretty fucking slim. So this to me is the only thing that really lends any credence to any of this. But these snowflake-like structures that don't seem to have the same kind of integration everywhere else, that is 100% a natural pattern here that you'd see in snowflakes and glass breaking and a whole bunch of other crap, lightning, a whole bunch of stuff. So just the fact that that was included kind of gives me a little bit, gives this a little credence, I should say. So the effect of saliva on with a human who overcame COVID naturally and has antibodies. Such saliva was added to the left side of the structures in figure 17. It came almost immediately to the permanent disintegration of the DARPA hydrogel crystal structure. So if you have antibodies against COVID, according to this, it destroyed those crystalline structures that were created by the interaction of the hydrogel and the biological fluids. And then here they did the same thing with ivermectin. They added ivermectin to their culture, and it also destroyed the hydrogel crystal structures. And it says, this clearly shows what ivermectin has an incredibly strong effect against what makes DARPA hydrogel in our organism. So the correlation here could be, you know, the ban on ivermectin, or the refusal to prescribe ivermectin, that could somehow correspond here. This figure 20 is normal live red blood cells. And this figure here is the addition of the DARPA hydrogel from the test rod that resulted in total massacre of the red blood cells. So if this comes in contact with blood, I guess it destroys the red blood cells. This also seemed a little far-fetched. I don't know enough about it to really tell you. Like I said, I don't know if this is authentic or not. It's got some things that kind of indicate that it is, but then again, it lacks a lot of things that tell me that it isn't. DARPA hydrogel forms blood clots within a few seconds. These subsequently damage and clog blood vessels. See if there's anything up. And then that was pretty much it. And here's all the references they used. And I went through every single one of these references. And they're very general.
There have been a bunch of blood clot deaths from the vaccines, right? I mean, that's what they said in that report, right? Blood clot.
Right. But this is allegedly... allegedly on the tip of the test swab, right? So we're talking about some sort of weird delivery system for people just getting tested, right? Which
the test gives it to you.
It seems like the test could implant this thing into you if you refuse the vaccine. I guess they'll assume everyone will get tested, but not everyone will get the vaccine. Maybe that's it.
Maybe they're covering their bases. So they've got two plans in place.
I want to know what the fuck black squiggly worms are that are on the tests and the masks. Do you know what those are?
No.
Nobody does.
No, it makes me think of back in the day when Bill Gates gave the TED talk about how we need to eliminate people's spirituality. And when this article talks about attacking the pineal gland, it kind of makes me think back on that TED talk. You know, are they trying to just make us automatons, you know, these robotic beings that they can just control with their DARPA gel? That was like one of the theories going around back in the day. And like all these things happening right now, it's like, what the fuck is this really? Can this really be happening? Is this
real? This is wild, but I just want to emphasize, like, you know, if someone brought this to me and said, hey, authenticate this for me, I would not authenticate it. I would tell them it's a fake. So it doesn't have the things that I would look for in a real medical paper, you know? So who knows? But
we
can
talk.
Does that mean it's wrong?
About it as speculation,
right?
Could be in there. I think that's a reasonable stance to say that it's possible that it's not. But we do know that DARPA is up to these sorts of tricks. They have no problem experimenting on us, I don't think. And this would be really nefarious, but for it to attack your pineal gland is so in line with their way of thinking, though, too. You know, how the fluoride in the drinking water and lithium in the chemtrails and things like that. I mean, they fear us so much. They want to keep us as dumbed down as possible. And frankly, it's working. I would say in a large segment of the population, it seems like the fluoride is working just fine. You know, everyone's just a little bit too dumb to figure it out. And it reminds me of this Russell Blaylock quote that I have in my Octopus book, talking about how there's just a huge segment of the population that is just dumbed down and is unable to have critical thought. And then he said there's a real small segment of higher intelligence that can just see it all laid out right in front of them, you know, and they recognize what's really happening. And so, you know, the people that are watching this show we're in that higher segment. I mean, not bragging, it's just the fact we're able to see more than just one step ahead. You know, we're able to play this out a couple steps ahead. And what we've been seeing over the last 20 years is the slow creep of things like DARPA in Boston Dynamics being slowly integrated into our lives. We've got have television shows like Black Mirror that are showing us about 15 years out into the future, this potentially dystopian hellscape. And it seems that we're sprinting there now through the new bullshit climate change component of the lie that is now going to be kicked into high gear, according to Project Veritas, busting CNN, and hearing that the CNN reporter said that, yeah, we're about to pivot to climate change now. So it's all an agenda, and it's there designed to get you to change your behavior, and they want to tax you, and they want to make you buy green lawnmowers now, and you've got to, you know, do this with carbon, and there's going to be a whole carbon agenda, a real fucking annoying carbon agenda that's going to make some people trillionaires. And meanwhile, it's just going to be another regressive tax on all of us. And get ready for the bullshit, man, because we're going to start hearing about climate change hardcore pretty soon, and we're going to hear it for the rest of our lives, because the carbon tax hustle that they're trying to pull with this is going to make the Federal Reserve scam look like junior varsity.
Oh, and I can imagine them causing a few natural disasters and, you know, carbon tax scam stuff like that.
It's coming, and I feel like there aren't enough people talking about it.
Yeah, I can see it even
sure that we can see them doing stuff like that, causing natural disasters to kind of
forest fires.
Yeah, to push along this climate change agenda.
Yep. Well, here's the thing that I don't get, and this is really what pisses me off. Us at the bottom level as consumers have zero fucking ability to have any impact on the goddamn climate through the products and things that we consume, because we have no choice over the things that we consume, okay? These cocksuckers who are pushing this agenda are the ones who are creating the fucking mountain of plastic out in the ocean.
Exactly.
They're the fucking ones who are pushing all kinds of shit that is not biosafe, and they're putting all kinds of toxic chemicals in the plastic. And all, you know, you just interviewed somebody about the plastic, right? I mean, that shit is so fucked up. And it's like, we have no say over. We're children who the adults are giving us chocolate and saying, don't fucking eat it. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah. And the people are mad, man. I mean, what did we see yesterday in London? 1 million people out in the streets. This predator class, they better watch themselves, you know, cause they're pushing this thing a little bit too fast. And, you know, we the people cannot be held accountable for our actions if you keep pushing. You know, they have to know that. They have to feel that at some point. Not threatening them, but just they just need to know that the people are willing and able to turn the tables on them in a big way. And in the SPARS pandemic scenario, towards the end of it, they take all of the CDC heads, the FDA FDA head, all of the celebrities that were pushing for the vaccine and everything, and they fire their asses and they run them out of town. The people do, because they're so repulsed by their role in this perpetuating this vaccine agenda in this fucking scenario that they ran. It's crazy, man. It's down to like the fake rapper and the hashtag vaccine works in 2017, you know, and when they're writing the scenario, they have that. And then what do you see? You have Run DMC doing that cartoon vaccine advertisement rap thing, hashtag vaccines work. And you're like, it's the same. They're running off of the playbook. This is the playbook. And if you read what happens, if you flip to the back and read how it ends, it ends with a bunch of people fucked up and millions of millions and millions of people dead from the vaccine. That's how it ends in their scenario. So like we need to kind of put our petty differences aside in this nation and come together temporarily. We can go back to hating each other later, but like come together for one cause, and that is to run the predator class out of here, because they're trying to kill us. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic about this. It's just a fact. They are trying to depopulate us. And I know that sounds crazy, but fucking look at their writings.
No,
look what
you're
they
right.
talk about. Look what they're doing. Look what they own. Look at the seeds that they own, the seed vaults, and the seeds that they're investing in Monsanto and investing in all these fucking chemical companies. They're trying to depopulate us, and we're screaming this, and we're saying like, check our work. Look at all this evidence. And people are like, I like Fauci. I'm going to get the Moderna. I got the Moderna one, bro. And you're like,
yeah. And they're holding their certificate.
Fucking retards. You don't get it. You're getting in that train car, and the guy is saying you're going to be resettled in the East. And you're going, isn't this great? We're going to get resettled in the East. You'd be right there, man, in 1944, getting in that car going, everything's going to be fine, because you guys are all walking into a trap. It's crystal clear to us.
Charlie, one of the things that pisses me off that I've come to realize over the past few years is how many diseases were sold to us that aren't killing us. It's the medicine they give us for said diseases that kill us. Yeah. The medical industry is all about profiting from our sickness and disease and death. They don't give a shit about helping us at all. Sure, if we break an arm, they'll mend us. Yes. You know, if we break a leg.
The third leading cause of death in the United States is the medical industry.
I've decided I'm never going to a fucking doctor again. I mean, unless I have an arm hanging off or something like that. Why? You know, so they can kill me?
You have to come in. And look, I get it. I understand. The doctors, they're in a weird spot, man. They've come through years of Rockefeller Medical School in indoctrination, and they've only been taught one way, and they've been taught that naturopathy is kook shit, and none of that stuff works, and it's fairies and it's magical thinking and all that stuff, and it's not. There's a lot to it, you know. There's a lot more there than the establishment gives it credit for. But the pharmaceutical industry, man, is designed to keep you sick. That is their business model. It was started by the Rockefellers, for fuck's sake. I mean, they ran, that was their whole thing, was to destroy the world while making as much money as possible. They created the medical industry because they use, it's another use for their petroleum that they were, pulling out of the ground and making themselves, you know, billionaires back in the 1900s. They ran all that oil into and started the pharmaceutical industry in the synthetic medicine. And it has been, from its foundation, it's created by some of the worst people to ever live. So like, let's start there at the fucking bottom. And then you take on top of that, then they have a incentive to make as much money as possible because they're a business. And so they never really want to get you fully healed, because if they get you healed and fix you up too good, they'll never see you again. So it's about functional obsolescence and keeping you a little bit broken so that they can always sell you some new pill or something like that. That is a fact. That's not even debatable that is how they operate. So why is it such a stretch for people to think that maybe they're fucking with the vaccines too? Because of course they are. So it's like, it's time for everyone to kind of grow up and like acknowledge what's happening and like recognize that these people are out to get us. And it's, we're not being like alarmist by saying this, we're being like just objective and honest, and it's fucking terrifying, you know, because this must be what it felt like to be in like 1933 in Germany, you know, feeling like, shit, should I be like heading for the exits? It's getting kind of hot in here and getting kind of weird. You know, I always wonder what that was like for them. Like, I wonder like at what point they knew, like, it's time to get out of here, you know, because I feel like, I mean, do you guys feel that way? That sometimes you're like, it might be time to get out of here, like out of the United States.
All the
and
time.
I've never thought that in my life before. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist or freak anybody out, but like there have been some times when I'm thinking I might want to at least know where I'm going.
I'd rather stay and fight. Fuck it. Seriously. Like if they would do door-to-door vaccines, you got to take one. Like I am going out, you know, telling you I'm not fucking doing it. I just won't. I've always had a problem with authority, which is weird coming from a guy who was an ex-cop, but I genuinely like, there's no fucking way. Like I would love the last 30 seconds of my life as I fought the cops.
Yeah, for me, you'd have to kill me before I'd take that. I mean, you know, I love the country that I'm in, you know, just, I love the people. I love the country itself. I hate who runs it, but you know, I'd have to stay and fight, you know, anywhere else. It's not going to be,
I know.
You know, it's not going to be home. You know, it's something that I think we have to fight for, even though I do want to pack up and get the fuck out. You know,
I'm terrified of the terrified. You know what I mean? I'm
the zombies and sheep.
Yeah. They're dangerous in large numbers, and there's so many of them. And God forbid if this shit that we've been talking about is real and it does something to their pineal gland and makes them less human. You know,
the zombie apocalypse will be real. You saw the CDC, how they put out that thing about the zombie apocalypse. Yes. Like, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah. Like, are they fucking with us? I feel like they could be. And I would actually have to give them a tiny bit of credit for that. But what if they were like prepping us for the fact that at some point, I mean, look, let's talk seriously here about the fact that nobody has disputed the Deagle document,
right? The massive depopulation for the United States.
Yeah.
Within like a couple of years.
Yeah. They had from 2015 to 2025, it started with the United States with a population of 340 million. And by 2025, it was 99 million. There was no explanation for it. Canada was similar, 70% across the board, just about Canada, United States, Western Europe, Australia, I think Mexico. There were a couple countries that went up a little bit, like China and India, I think, as you would expect. I think Brazil. But in the West, it was like pretty much a 70% cut of population. And when they pressed about what it was from, the document I read, and I don't know, there might be more than one document, but the document I read said that it was that they had two causes for it. One was a pandemic and the second was a financial collapse. So I'm thinking, what the fuck does Deagle know that we don't know? You know, they're paid to know stuff that we don't know. They're like a think tank that helps military industrial complex type companies plan and budget for how many tanks and planes they're going to need to build or how many bullets they're going to need to make for the coming years based on the sort of geopolitics and hotness of certain regions and stuff like that. So this is what Deagle does. They forecast this stuff for these companies, and the companies pay them a shitload of money so that they can get these forecasts and figure out how to manage the making widgets or bombs or whatever the fuck they're doing. So when Deagle says that the population is getting cut by 70%, I tend to sort of wonder, do they know something we don't know? Because they would be in a position to know. And seeing as we've got a acknowledgement in 2017 through this SPARS document of them planning something that is happening exactly as it was planned. Look, it's reasonable to think that this thing has been planned well in advance, because the Deagle document came out, I would imagine, just a little bit before 2015, right? Because it was predicting.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make sense for it to come out in 2016 and be purchased, you know. So I think it came out like 2014 or something like that.
Now, speaking of things like certain planned and predicted in advance, have you heard of the Fourth Turning, written in 1997 by Neil Howe and William Strauss?
No.
Okay, I came across this article. Apparently, they wrote this book in 1997 that proposes a theory that America sees a turning every 20 years as one generation displaces another, and this dynamic between the two creates a crisis every 80 years. Each crisis is marked by four stages: a catalyst event that sets the wheel in motion, a regeneracy in which people stop tolerating weakening institutions and splintering culture, a climax that shakes society to its roots, transforms institutions, and redirects purpose, and a resolution that sees the economy entirely restructured for a new set of circumstances. It says, during the climax, they wrote, the economy would reach a trough that may look like the start of a depression. The stock market crash of 2020 was the sharpest and deepest since the 1930s. The economy will recover, per the theory, but it will fundamentally change after this period. The fourth turning boomers are likely to occupy the vortex of a downward economic spiral, and the truth will dawn on old boomers that the money simply won't be there to support their accustomed consumption, and it predicted millennials will come out with a brighter future as they come to embody the new American mainstream. Now, doesn't that sound like one of those scripted plan things?
Yeah, man. Wow.
So they planned all this shit way ahead. They have to.
Yeah. So what's the reason? So we have to think then, what's the reasoning for wanting to get rid of 70% of the population? Are we the useless eaters that Henry Kissinger has fantasized about getting rid of, and to be replaced by robots and drones?
I think that's it. I think it's more easily controlled population. You know, most of it's controlled by robots and drones, and all our basic needs are provided by electronics and technology. We won't have to worry about people anymore, and less people would be easier to control. At least that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, that's scary.
It is. What do you think about it, Corey?
Yeah, we're fucking doomed.
I knew he was going to say that.
If I could go into the reasons, I don't want to get banned off our unbannable channels. So,
yeah, well, I mean, the reasons are what we're trying to figure out, and it's beyond me to fathom some of these psychopathic reasons. But
well, I can tell you where they start. Over there. That's where they start. Trust me on that one.
Yeah, we've got a new... We're about to get into an economic collapse coming here that's really unavoidable. I mean, the way they've been trying to mask this thing for a while by printing up money out of thin air, it's just math. It gets to a point where it hyperinflates, and I think they want to. I think they want to hyperinflate it, create mass chaos, and then introduce a new digital dollar into the scene and use that as a form of control, and tie it to being compliant,
I'll make an analogy to what's going on today to post-World War I Germany. They're doing to us exactly what they did to the fucking Germans. Exactly. It's the same script. It destroyed them socially. They destroyed them economically. They destroyed them down to the fiber of their being. They wanted being German to be a crime in and of itself. And that's exactly what is the direction we're going.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about all the new police shootings that they've been covering? We were talking about this the other day. It seems like they're seriously cherry picking a lot of these, shooting cases to push the agenda of racial division and, hate the cops and all this stuff. But we've had a rash of them in the past couple of weeks, like 10 or so, all in different locations. You think they're trying to pop up this agenda again?
Yeah, don't you get the feeling that they love this? They're alternating. They keep going virus, race riot. We have to have virus in the winter. It's seasonal. So here's the script. Viruses in the winter, when it makes sense for you to be really scared about viruses. And then riots in the summer, spring and summer, when it's nice outside, and so you can get outside and you can really really burn late into the night, burn these places. So we're going to get more race riots this summer, because that's fun. And it'll be fueled by, I mean, there's always a cop shooting a kid somewhere. There's no end to that. And if there is an end to that, they can always fake it. Right. You know, they're not above doing that to keep you talking about race riots in between talking about climate change. Cause remember, they said they're going to be talking a lot about climate change. So it's going to be, will race riots increase climate change? You know, something like that. They'll find a way to incorporate it together.
You think we're going to see a COVID uptick again in the fall? I have a feeling that we're not completely done seeing the COVID thing.
I think they know that people are fed up. Like, have you seen that video from Hyde Park in the UK from yesterday?
Yeah.
That was awesome. They were fucking hitting awesome. Those cops with bottles and everything. They were not fucking around.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
I thought it got rough.
Marchers. I didn't see them throwing stuff at cops.
Well, part of the march, they had a little area in a park where they had like a, you know, a couple people with guitars and like a drummer, and a band was kind of playing and someone was singing. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like 20 cops just mobbed this fucking crowd and started grabbing people, and the crowd just fought back, straight up pushed them out of the park. It was beautiful.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, that's what we need to see more of.
Yeah, I don't like that cop energy. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. You know, that wanting to escalate the situation. You know, I get it.
Because escalation is sometimes more efficient from the cop perspective. Escalation is far more efficient.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I totally understand that. But it just whenever you do that to someone, you there's a good chance that someone is now going to hate cops forever, you know, or for a long time, or have a negative opinion.
But cops are like victim; they have that victim mentality as it is, right? So they already are in that mentality, so it doesn't even faze them anymore, because they're taught that everyone wants to get you from day one.
Yeah. Most people just want the cops to like leave them alone. Like,
so totally. So one thing I want to point out in regards to this most recent shooting of the 13-year-old kid who had the gun, who threw it behind the fence. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Okay. So cops are defending this guy for shooting him because they said he only had a split second, and anybody would have done the same thing with the same circumstances. How would he know he threw the gun? Well, I went through that identical scenario where you had somebody with a weapon, they kill the person in the training scenario, and then they drop the weapon and start to walk away. That was the scenario. And if you shot them, you fucking failed, because you have to make that decision, that split second decision. You have to, you're held to a higher standard. So they keep saying, right? When it fits their, what they need to promote it, they're held to a higher standard, but otherwise no. But no, we went through that identical scenario. They drop the gun, put the hands up. Do you shoot or not? That's the whole purpose. You've seen like they go into that that shooting range where like the little dummies pop up and it's like an old lady and you don't shoot them, right? That's the whole point of that scenario training. Identically to what we've seen them promote as this is our training, they're now going to say, they're going to pretend like that doesn't exist because he shot this fucking kid. That training, that incident was an identical training scenario that I went through. So for them to even try to say that he didn't have a choice in the split second is just bullshit propaganda.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you are running around with a gun, as a kid, you are putting yourself in a position for bad things to happen. I get it. Some people live in really dangerous neighborhoods and they have to have protection. I can totally respect that and maybe understand it, but I'm just saying that, dude, if the more you have a gun with you, the more tempted you are to use it. And if you've got a gun with you and you make yourself a target, and you know these cops are maniacs out there, and yet you put yourself in a position to draw attention to yourself, dude, like, you also can't act surprised when you get shot, because these cops a lot of them are fucking psychopaths, and they don't, you know, have a problem shooting you. So like you, both parties are need to be responsible for this. Like you need to understand, like, if you don't, I'm not saying that it's right for cops to shoot these kids. I'm just saying you have to understand that it is a possibility and act accordingly. Like, don't go sticking your hands down your pants when a cop walks up to you because you look like you're going for a gun. That's common sense. Like, if you're doing shit like that and you get shot, it's kind of like, well, what did you expect, dummy? Don't do that. Don't, you know, oh, you threw a gun and then got shot. Yeah. According to Corey, the training says don't shoot him. Well, he shot him. I mean, maybe don't have a gun, you know, maybe don't be running and throwing a gun. I mean, so it's like, it's not just total victimless crimes here. You know, I mean, a lot of times these cops that are involved in these shootings are involved with guys that are breaking the law currently. You know, they're in the process of breaking the law. And look, I'm not some like law purist. I'm a fucking half anarchist. You know, I don't like authority and shit like that. But I'm just saying that if you're doing something that you know is illegal, don't act surprised when the cops want to mess with you. You know what I mean? So it's like people need to take some responsibility for their own actions. But fuck the police. You know, I mean, I feel like there's two things that they could do right off the bat after we went through this whole summer in 2020 with the police being, you know, totally targeted for being maniacs and everything. Cancel the 1033 program that recycles in military grade firepower and equipment and things like that. 205 grenade launchers the police took from the military? For what? Grenade launchers? Are you fucking kidding me? 80,000 assault weapons? I mean, listen, so we've got the cops that they're armed like they're military. And then we act surprised when they act like military. You know, so get rid of the 1033 program and stop that company from Israel that's there training them, because they're training them to escalate the situation, and they're creating a lot of these problems. Ever since they got involved with this shit, the police have been on shooting sprees. So we need to send people in there to train the police to de-escalate situations, not escalate them. I know, Corey, you said that it's like more efficient and everything, and it might be. But like,
well, I'm explaining that real quick. Like,
you come in like, if you didn't take it as a cop, like you, like the people don't, you know, the people get scared. They're not used mm-hmm. to dealing with that shit. It's fucking terrifying. And it's like, it makes enemies of the police force. Like they need to change their vibe. And
the mentality is, I don't have time to fucking deal with you. You're going to do shit my way. And if you don't, I'm going to wrap you up and get this thing over with quick. And then I'm going to move on to my next call. And whether it's right or wrong or even legal or not is irrelevant.
And I recognize this. I want to say this. I recognize that cops deal with people all day long that are lying to them and hiding shit from them and being jerks to them. And I get it. Like, it's you deal with assholes almost all day long. It's got to be tough. But if you're the type of personality type that it gets triggered easily, like, maybe it's just, you know, maybe that personality type shouldn't be doing the job, you know, because that's a job where, like, if you make a mistake, someone gets killed, you know? And so, but I do recognize, though, that the police deal with morons on a constant basis, the dumbest people doing the craziest shit you've ever seen. And some of it's quite funny, but I just would like, you remember the old police man in the day with the blue uniform and the blue hat who would like say,
Barney Fife,
let me change your tire. Like, those guys were loved and respected, and this version of the police are feared, and like, people are terrified of them. And I just feel like that's such a bad look. That's just such a police state mentality that could be fixed if somebody in a position of power decided that we should try and do things a little differently. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world. That's something to be, and we have a private prison industry on top of that. Like, that's horrible.
Yeah, we're a shit show. Like, America ended with Kennedy, and we have been just driving right into the fucking dirt ever since. intentionally, 100% intentionally. These things that are being done, they're not being done by us to us. They're being done to us by a foreign entity, which has co-opted the entire fucking West. So fuck all them.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. We've got such a great, you know, we have such a, such good potential with our country, and we, you know, we used to be loved and now, and we've squandered a lot of that goodwill over the last two decades because of this bullshit war on terror. We've made a lot of enemies, and it's, you know, it's like, you know, I wrote a book about the end of America or the American Empire. Like I it's coming. But it's, and it's a shame because the people that have screwed it up for everyone, it's not us. It's not we, the people. It's like this small parasitic percentage of the population that have taken control of it, you know, and it's, it, and they've ruined it for everyone. And it's the saddest part of it all is that, you know, like we remember that, like, how the 50s were, you know, perceived as like, hey, how you doing, neighbor and mailman and all that stuff. And it's like everyone was happy and everything. And look at us now. We're like all strung out on prescription pills, and we're get the highest heroin use in the world, the largest prison population, most people on prescription drugs, most people in psychological or psychiatric hospitals. You know, we have the highest rate of cancer. Like we're a fucking mess. It's like, and it's a shame, man.
Yeah, and we can pretty much owe it all to those controllers, the CIA, Hollywood, for creating this culture that we're living in today, basically, and perpetuating everything and getting all these agendas that we're seeing right now pushed through. It's a shit show, but I agree. We do need to fight for this country. There's great people here. It's a great country, and we need to fucking take it back somehow. Somehow. I don't know how yet, but I think we need to keep talking about it, and I think we'll figure it out eventually. Charlie, thanks for coming on tonight. You got anything cool coming up you'd like to tell us about before we head out?
No, well, I'm interviewing Whitney Webb tomorrow. She's been on before, but we're going to talk about some stakeholder capitalism and what that term means and some of that crazy stuff. People can subscribe to me on Rockfin as well, because I'm here, Macroaggressions, and you can find my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, and that's where all my stuff is. I've got a merchandise store, and you can buy some crazy stickers there. And
yeah, we need to talk to you about merchandise too. Our guy's letting us down, so we'll be talking about that.
I got a great connection for it. The stuff that I've been selling is the shirts are such good quality, and they don't, you know, shrink, and the silk screen doesn't run off. It's, I've just been so pleased with it. So yeah, I'll hook you up for sure.
Awesome. Definitely. Well, thanks again, Charlie, for coming on, Corey. And until next time, everyone have an excellent evening.